Okay, girls, well, this is what we're gonna, I will order the band, once we've had lunch, and, now Coletta is gonna talk to us about the ministry that she and her husband have, are building. And I did not know Coletta before this Bible study, and she had, I know she has a, one child, correct, and pretty good. And, I have come to know, I'm not gonna stay on the phone, I'm not gonna tell you about her program or anything, if that's what she's about. But this is what I learned about Coletta in Tom Road, and in this room also, that she is a godly, spiritual woman who sees God's purpose in her life and is willing to give more than is believable. I know some of you may have read, in the Star Herald last week, there were two articles that just happened to follow the same week, I guess. And again, that was a trip that they took a huge number of children out on spring break to Chicago. And then there's a registration that I'm sure she'll tell us about that they're fixing to hold, that they do every year. And what they do is, I mean, it's unbelievable that she and her husband are able to pull this together, and it's only God's help, which is exactly where she comes from. So, again, I say she is a sweet, godly woman that we have really come to know and love, and we are so excited that you were with us to tell us about your ministry here at this time. So, Coletta Patterson.
Thank you, Sandra. I have to go over here to my
Where are you from?
Originally, I was born in Memphis, and when I was 12, we moved to Fayetteville, Arkansas. So, and then I moved back here to go to school at Tougaloo College, so that's where my husband and I met. So, kind of been around a little bit, but I'm trying to watch my time here.
Okay.
Well, it's been great to be a part of this study and to get to meet all of you, and I think I knew a few faces before I got started, but it's been great. I learned a lot about James, as I'm sure you all have, and just honored that you give me this opportunity. So I didn't want to come up here rambling, so I do have a few notes. But I wanted to share a little bit about my journey of faith, is what I call it. As the Bible tells us, we walk by faith and not by sight, and the just shall live by faith. And so as I started looking back over the things that my husband and I have been able to accomplish, it's really all been by faith. And the Lord has given us a lot of favor and opened a lot of doors for us, but the key word in it was our faith. And so I looked at Abraham and Sarah, and who's the, Abraham is known as the father of faith. And so in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 5, it says, "The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. And when I thought about my story, I thought, you know, we are a lot like Abraham and Sarah, and all of us are, that the Lord has given us things, visions, and dreams to do, put desires in our heart, but it all starts with our faith. And so we have to trust God to bring those things to pass. And so just as he told Abram to leave your country, leave your father's household, all those things that he knew and had grown to love and had become familiar with and that were comfortable to him, he had to leave all of that and go to this new place, a new land. And so in 2006, my husband and I were, as I mentioned, we were in Northwest Arkansas. It was a huge booming economy, and Fayetteville, Springdale, Rogers, and Bentonville are all right there in that hub, and it's a big college town with the Razorbacks, and Walmart home office is there, Tyson Chicken home office is there, and there's several industry. And so right before we left, Walmart made this law that all of their vendors that they do business with had to bring an office there, because a lot of their vendors are, you know, New York and all over, but they actually had to create jobs and put in a vendor office there. And so there were a lot of new jobs opening up, and actually right before we moved, I had an opportunity to work for a Walmart vendor for Disney, actually, who was opening a new office there, and turned it down to walk out on faith and to come here to Mississippi. My husband is from Kosciuszko, and his father was in the military, so they moved around a lot, but this was home for him, and his parents are still here. And so all the time that we were there in Arkansas, the Lord just kept dealing with him about his hometown, and he would follow what was going on the Star Herald online, and sometimes he would send and get the papers, and he just kept reading about young people that were getting into trouble or, you know, break-ins that were going on, and it just really troubled his spirit. And he just kept getting upset about it, and he said, well, somebody has got to do something about it. And one day when he said that, the Lord said, well, you're that person, and so you need to go back home and do something about it. And so that's just been a deep passion of ours, to come back and to really work with young people and to change their mindset and their mentality, to aspire to be something bigger and better than where they are. So we left this place of comfort and familiarity in Northwest Arkansas, and we left good jobs. Actually, my husband was on full-time staff there at Christian Life Cathedral. It was a mid-sized church there, and the land was situated on, I forgot how many acres, but it was worth like $2 or $3 million, and the pastor was getting ready to step down and retire. And actually, it was a predominantly Caucasian church, and so the pastor was getting ready to step down. He's ready to retire, and he said, you know, if you stay here, this will all be yours. This will be your church, and, you know, it's worth this much amount of money and all this. And so it was pretty tempting. You know, we thought, well, we could stay, and, you know, we'd have a nice living, we'd be well taken care of, the people loved us, and but that wasn't what God had for us. And so we were there for that season, but then he said it was time to move on. So we stepped into this land of the unknown and came back to Kosciuszko. And of course, when we came, we were excited, you know, because usually when God shows you a vision, he shows you kind of the end result of, you know, what you're going towards, and which is good, because if you didn't have that faith picture, then you'd probably give up along the way. But he doesn't always show you the ins and outs and how everything's going to unfold and the obstacles you're going to face and the giants in the land. And so we were all excited and like, we're going to start this new work, this new ministry, Kingdom Life Church. And, you know, people just flock to it because it's something new and different. And, you know, people are ready for a change. And so we came and we had our first service, I guess you would say, interest meeting. And I think we had one person come. So, you know, we were like, well, okay, what's going on? And so that could have, you know, been a deterrent to just make us want to throw up our hands, but we pressed on. And so in some weeks, you know, we'd have people, and other weeks we didn't. But, you know, Sunday after Sunday, we were just faithful. We just kept coming, and we started meeting at the Jason Niles Park in the pavilion. So we would rent that on Sundays, and of course, you know, it's just a blank slate when you walk in there. So we'd get there Sunday morning at 6, and I was home with the girls, but my husband would get up, and he'd have to go and sweep, because it was usually dirty from Saturday before, and he'd have to take out the trash and set the chairs up, and we'd bring all of our sound equipment and music and the mics and all that, and then to sometimes have no one show up, you know. But he just did it week after week, and we stuck with it. So now, 5 years later, the church is really growing, and got a pretty good base of people. You know, some have come, some have left, because it isn't untraditional in the sense of it's different from what people are used to. We really focus on outreach and getting in the community and meeting the needs of the people, and it's a strong teaching ministry, and a lot of people aren't used to, I guess, teaching as much, and so they're used to, you know, leaving church and feeling good and feeling high and having this great experience. But they go back to home and their situations aren't changing because they haven't gotten the word in them and don't know how to apply it to their situations to change it. And so we focus a lot on teaching, and my husband's a great teacher, and just seeing what the scriptures say and how we can apply it to our lives. And so, you know, the people that are ready for that, you know, stay, and then those that aren't, you know, they come and leave. But, and then as I mentioned, we're also outreach oriented, and so I guess over the last 3 years, we've done an annual back-to-school bash in August. Usually right before the kids go back to school, we give away free school supplies and backpacks, and we feed everyone. And we've always had around 200 people there, mm-hmm. and we do games with the kids and just let them have fun. And so it's been something that's really been a blessing to those families. And sometimes we'll do workshops for the parents while they're there on parenting, just so they have some information to take home with them. We also just wrapped up our Easter outreach at, this year we did at Glendale Apartments, but we usually pick one of the housing complexes, and we just take it to them because we know if we do something at the church, they may not come because some of them don't have transportation, some of them just don't want to, but if it's there on their turf where they are, then, you know, they'll come. And so we did a big Easter egg hunt for the kids and, you know, talk to them for a little bit, talk to the parents, and try to encourage them to come and to church when they could. And so we've done that four times. Actually, we did the first two at Hammond Circle, and then the last 2 years we've been at Glendale Apartments. Then we always do something around Thanksgiving and Christmas and give away food baskets to the those in need. And usually the managers of the housing complexes will identify the family for us, and we just go to their doorsteps and say, hey, we just want to be a blessing to you. Here's a full meal you can cook. And sometimes we see them in church and sometimes we don't, but we know that whatever seed that we've planted, then they're going to get something from that. So so that's kind of what Kingdom Life Church is about and what we do. And I came across this verse that really kind of sums up what we try to do. In Matthew 25, 34 through 40, it says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And then the righteous will answer him, well, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And so that kind of sums up what we try to do, and we try to do for the least of these. And our foundational scripture is Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to us. And so we started Kingdom Life Church in 2006, and then, or 2007, and then we also started the Exodus Project around the same time in 2007. And at first we started it under the as an outreach of the church under that umbrella because we had the 501c3 status with the church. But then we quickly saw the need to just separate the two entities and make the Exodus Project its own nonprofit. So we went through that process again, and so it is its own nonprofit now. And it's a community organization available to teens who are 12 to 19, and actually we have a couple of first-year college students who have stuck with us who just kind of need help through that transition from high school to college, and so we work with them as well. But we provide mentorship and guidance, and we help them set their goals. We sit down with them when they join the program and help them develop a five-year plan of what they see themselves doing, what they want their grades to be like. We do leadership training for them. We meet with them once a month as a group, and we usually bring in guest speakers to talk to them about the successes that they've had and, you know, maybe some of the pitfalls they've had to endure, so, you know, to encourage them to aspire to be better. And then we also, aside from the once-a-month group meetings, we meet individually with each one. And so my husband meets with the males and I meet with the females, and we've got about 30. So it takes a lot of time on our part, but we sit down, we find out if there's something going on at home that we need to be aware of, if they're having problems with their friendships, if they're being pulled in the wrong direction, just kind of counsel and guide them. If their grades are dropping, we take notice of that and try to provide tutoring or find some assistance for them. So it's really a comprehensive program in the sense of try to individualize it and tailor it to each student's needs. So it's not just a cookie cutter approach, but we really try to make it personal to them. And we also do job shadowing in the summer, so the ones that want to maybe go into medicine, we'll try to find a doctor that will allow them to come in and shadow them for 2 or 3 hours or half a day. Last summer we sat in on some actual trials in Jackson, and for the ones that wanted to go into law, so they got to see how that works and meet, talk to the judge afterwards and ask questions. So we do that, and usually, you know, that's us. We drive them down there and, you know, make sure they get back. And we also do educational trips, as Sandra mentioned. We just got back from Chicago and Indianapolis over spring break and took 25 students down there, and they saw the Sears Tower and ate Chicago pizza. We went to a couple of different colleges and sat in on admissions presentations. So we did a lot of stuff. We also gone to D.C. We went there last March, and they got to meet with our congressmen and went to the Capitol building and went to a couple of colleges there as well. We've gone to Atlanta and Dallas, Birmingham, several places. So each year we try to go to different places, and we hope that by the time they graduate, they've seen so many different places that they know what else is out there. Even if they decide we want to stay in Mississippi or stay in Kosciuszko, that's fine, but they've seen other parts of the world, and so they don't feel limited in what they can do or where they can go. We do study skills prep, ACT preparation. We'll offer tutoring. We do community service projects, and so usually once a quarter we'll adopt a project that we want to do. And our next one will be a literacy luau next Saturday that we're going to have for children pre-K to fifth grade, just to come, and the Exodus Project members are going to read to them, and then we'll let some of the kids read back to them, just to encourage that reading can be fun, and reading is fundamental, and you really need to get a good foundation of reading and have a love for learning. So we're excited about that. We've also cleaned elderly citizens' homes. We've done things at the nursing home. And as I mentioned, something else we do with Exodus Project, we counsel them. Just yesterday, I think it was yesterday, I had a parent send me a text that her daughter's grades were dropping. She's taking advanced classes, but her grades are dropping, and she's noticed she's real mean-spirited at home to her younger siblings, and she thinks she's, you know, sneaking around having sex with this boy and just different things, and she kind of just unleashed it on me, and so she wanted me to talk to the girl, and so I did. And so it's just, you know, any time of the day that can come up. And then I found out the parent, I believe, has some of her own issues as well. So even though the program is for the students, a lot of times we find ourselves having to work with the parents and counsel them and talk to them. So it's really been a big undertaking. But I can say we've had a lot of successes. We've reached probably over 100 youth in 5 years. We currently have about 40 that are active. And all the ones that have graduated from high school have gone on to college, and we actually had our first college graduate last May, and he was a success story in himself. He was our first participant, and he was from a single-parent family. His mom was kind of having problems with him. He wanted to go live with his dad, but she knew that wasn't really the best situation for him, so he really was ready to drop out of school. I believe he was a junior at this point. Wanted to give up, just kind of live on the streets, hang out with guys, because that's what he saw around him and what some of his friends were doing. We got him into the program. Well, actually, he was the first one, so it really just started with us just talking to him. And my husband would just pull him to the side and and talk to him. And he said he talked to him that first time for about 2 hours, and the guy never said a word, just sat there. And so this went on for probably about a year. He went on to finish high school, and actually he had just kind of started getting involved in a gang and doing, you know, things that they get involved in. And so after about a year of us working with him, he finished high school, he went on to college, and he actually graduated. So when we see things like that, or see the fruit of our labor, it definitely makes it rewarding, because sometimes we wonder, are we really reaching these kids, or do we see any changes in them? And we are, slowly but surely. And I have...
Tell me about the requirements to be in the Exodus program.
Okay. Pretty much the only requirement is that they have the desire to want to do better. They have to be 12 to 19, so they're teenagers. They don't pay anything. Well, they pay to get their uniform, their shirts, but it's a free program. They do have to keep their grades up. We like them to have at least a 2.75, which is about a B, between a B and a C average, and we really want to move it up to a 3-point. But they do have to keep their grades up. But that's all as far as kind of requirements. Now, if we see that they're not putting in the effort, taking the initiative, we will put them on probation, and you know, because they're taking up a spot someone else can have if they're not going to put forth the effort. So we do that. But some of the parents have noticed some changes. I was going to read just a few of these. One lady said her son's anger level has lowered tremendously. He plays with his siblings, which he didn't want to do before, and he's willing to help them out. Then another mom said that her son has become more confident within himself. And then another one said that her son has a greater idea about his education. He's more outspoken in a positive way and reaches out to other young people, and he wants to see the world. another young lady has improved her grades, and her attitude is changing. She's steering clear of trouble and making better choices and thinking first before she acts. And then another one, he doesn't get upset as quickly. So so that, and the parents see it probably a lot more than we do because they're around them all the time. But we have a high school teacher that's on our board, and he said our kids are the ones that are not in the office or getting in trouble or as likely to be in trouble. And so we're glad about that. But as far as funding, the program is just funded from private donations and small grants. Most of the grants that I've written have been for maybe $2,000 or $3,000, which can go very quickly, but and usually they're specific to a particular cause, whether it's literacy and doing literacy programming, or if it's for, you know, health and fitness and you have to use it for that. But we definitely need transportation. We would like to have a couple of vans, because every time we want to go somewhere, we have to rent vans. But my husband and I basically do the program on a voluntary basis, so we don't draw a salary, and it's really more than a full-time job. But we do all the bookkeeping, the marketing. We plan all the trips. We don't use a travel agent. We do all the event planning. I write for the grants. I'm working on one, a couple of them this month, actually. So anyway, and then we've also, in 2010, we started Move You Forward, which is what the Leadership Academy falls under, and that's more so or less our life coaching kind of business aspect of things. And so the Leadership Academy will have this summer, and it'll be our first time to do it in this way, and so a lot of the sessions that we'll cover are similar to the sessions we cover with our Exodus Project kids, but it's going to allow us to reach more children because it's open to anyone. But we're going to talk about goal setting and vision casting, talk about hygiene. A lot of them, when we go on the trip, we learn a lot about the kids, and so a lot of them don't want to brush their teeth, and there's one family that I guess they don't believe in taking showers, and so we actually have to make them go and take a shower and talk to them about that. So a lot of things that we take for granted, we realize and they don't get. We're going to talk to them about fitness and nutrition, public speaking. A lot of them are just so nervous when we have them come up and maybe introduce a guest speaker. You know, they stumble at the words. And so we're going to practice that and effective communication. We're going to show them different careers. And then civic engagement and personal responsibility, how to give back and to be a part of your community. So all of that's going to be a six-week program this summer in month of June and first 2 weeks of July. We're going to meet at the library on Monday evenings. And the registration for them is $25, which will help cover some of the costs. And then we're asking businesses or individuals to also give donations to help with the remaining. So actually, I think our budget's about $3,500 for that. We had about half of it come in, so God is really blessed in that way. And so we're hoping we'll get the other $1,500 or so in by May 1st, which is our kind of our deadline, so we can start ordering shirts and the supplies. They'll all get a little notebook and pen, and because they will have assignments each week. Like when we talk about how to dress, they will have to find pictures of appropriate dress for occasions and when you would wear that and why. And so it'll be full of information like that. So we're excited about that. But one thing that we've learned is everything starts with a dream. And so on this journey of faith, the Lord will give us a dream or a thought or an idea. And a lot of times I think we just brush it off and we say, well, you know, it was just a figment of my imagination, or that's for someone else to do. And so we miss out on the blessings that God has for us if we don't step out on faith and do something with it. So it's up to us to determine what level of success or quality of life that we will experience based on our faith. And so our faith is our trust and reliance on God, but it's also our corresponding action that goes with it. Faith without works is dead. So we have to put action to our faith. And I thought about this equation that we have us plus God, and that equals the result. And if we think about it, God is always a constant. And so really, if you take that out of the equation, it's us equals our result. And so whatever we're willing to put in is what we're going to get out of it. Whatever our level of faith is, if we believe we can do it, then that's the level of faith that we'll have. If we settle for less, then we'll always get less. And so that's something that I'm learning and that we're walking through, and that God is really challenging us to just continue to step out there. And when he tells us to do something, he's going to somehow make it happen. And all of these ventures that he's taken us through, we started with nothing. With the church, we started with zero people, started with zero funds. We didn't have you know, like the backing of a, you know, denomination or a building. And so everything, we've just grown from the ground up, you know, with God. And the same with Exodus Project. We started, you know, with that one young man, and it's grown to over 100. And so I've learned that God is always faithful. You know, the if lies with us. And so if we do our part, he's going to be faithful to do his. So that's pretty much kind of us in a nutshell. And I do have couple of brochures about the Leadership Academy if anyone's interested. I also failed to mention I've written a book called God's Masterpiece, Putting Together the Pieces of Your Life, primarily for women, although I've had some men read it and they say it's really good. But it takes a look at the Proverbs 31 woman and how she was able to achieve greatness in her life just based on principles that she put in place in her life, and has study questions in the back. So I have some of those with me too, and they're $15. And then just some information, kind of what I went over about the program, the Exodus Project, and then just some ways that we need people to kind of partner with us and get involved, or speak to the children at one of the meetings, or bring food to the meetings. So any questions? I know I covered a lot, and I get excited because, you know.
Wow.
But, we are meeting, yes ma'am, we've been leasing a building for about 3 years on Blackjack Road, right after you pass Frank Chevrolet, you turn to the right, where Grace Fellowship's on the corner, you come down a little bit, and we're on the right side, and it's a little tan building with green trim, it says Kingdom Life Church on it, we're right there. So we're looking for a building, because we definitely want room to grow, and so, and we need more space to have our Exodus Project meeting, so. Most of them are contacts my husband and I had in college, or people that knew people that we know, and so we just call them and say, we're going to be coming through there, would you mind coming and talk to our kids? And and they always do. I mean, we just have favor. And but yeah, and the D.C. one was really stressful, because we actually used the metro system, public transportation, so I actually had to look online and find out when the bus schedule was and coordinate. We've got to hit the bus at this time to get to the next stop, and if we get off, you know, so the kids were running, and we were just going.
You're
counting
heads,
anyway.
I can't. Yeah.
This full-time job, do y'all have others?
My husband does. He works at French Camp Academy. This is his fourth year there as a high school science teacher.
Okay.
So, yeah, pretty much we got a teaching salary that we live off of.
Y'all's days are pretty
full. Oh, yeah. So, but
well,
we enjoy it,
though. Well, let's pray for your ministry.
Father, we are just simply humble and overcome with the future that this couple has brought to this county. And so, Lord, we just ask your special blessing upon them and favor upon them. And we thank you for that which you have already provided.
Mm-hmm.
And Father, I do pray that you would show us a way that we might be as effective in your kingdom as they are. Lord, just bless us. We are so blessed by only merely knowing Coletta and hearing her testimony. So, Father, do open our hearts and our minds and bring forth a vision to us that we might step forward and work in your kingdom also. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Thank you.